everybody, and welcome back to the Sustainer podcast. Last week on our Instagram poll, you guys had opted for environmental lessons from ancient India. So today, this is exactly what we're going to be talking about. Indian history is a very rich one, filled with advanced practices and knowledge in the fields of engineering, astronomy, medicine, and of course, sustainability. In the Western world, the term sustainability was coined in the year 1987 and was used in theory. In India, references to sustainable practices, concepts of holistic living, and consuming resources mindfully without depleting them for future generations are found in the Vedas, which were written around 1900 BC. That is how old ancient Indian sustainability practices truly are. The major difference between Western environmental ethics and ancient Indian environmental ethics is that the Western world began to pay attention to the environment in a conservatory way only after environmental damage was done and the age of environmental crisis had already begun. Indian environmental ethics and practices were not an outcome of an environmental crisis, rather the fruit of centuries of deep symbiotic relationship with nature, respect for fellow beings, and understanding that no unit in this world is independent of others. Indian environmental ethics is rooted in preservation and conservation rather than in doing damage control. The Western concepts of environmental engineering and environmental sciences view environment as something that's damaged and needs to be fixed. Now, in the past 10 years, the concepts of sustainability has gained immense traction, which deals with understanding that we cannot exist without the environment, and it isn't enough to fix the damages done, but to prevent it in the future and eventually to reverse it. Sustainability views the world as a unit, a view which encompasses all aspects of life, the environment, society, and the overall governance of it all. This is found in ancient Indian history as well. The concepts of localism, giving back to the planet, respecting all beings, mindfully using resources were ingrained in our history. In India, before the onset of the British, people did not have a mere utilitarian relationship with nature. We depended on nature for our practical purposes, but not for our greed. We understood that we were dependent on nature and that this dependence was our requirement and not a luxury or a birthright. If we needed wood, we planted more trees. If we wanted food, we grew them in an ethical manner. There was a common consensus that we needed to maintain the balance since we were the ones who needed the balance. We understood our position as part of this world and not as rulers of this world. There's a concept and a hymn by the name Prithvi Shukta dedicated to explaining the needs for holistic living. It talks about judicious use of resources in an intelligent way so that the future generations can benefit from it and so that our ancestors can be assured that we treat the planet and its constituents right, just like they did before us. In other words, this is the exact same thing modern-day sustainability talks about. Before I delve into talking about few practices that were followed in India that needs to make a comeback, I want to emphasize that I'm not against development. I'm not telling that we have to reverse back to our ancient ways. I only want to throw light on our forgotten practices that need to be understood today so we can incorporate them into our current lifestyle. There was a time when being environmentally and societally conscious was taught in our country before anything else. Being of service to others, being respectful to nature and living beings, and using resources judicially and not being wasteful was our responsibility and not a choice. Before we move on to the practices, I wanted to take a moment to thank our sponsors. So getting back to our topic, let's go over a few household sustainability practices that need to make a comeback. Composting. India has an ancient and time-tested method of composting at home. In fact, Indian composting is so old that Sir Albert Howard, in his book published in the year 1943, mentions how much he learnt about composting in India. Composting was a mandatory practice in every Indian household. This practice has reduced a lot when urbanization grew rapidly and our traditional practices got lost somewhere in the transaction. Now, of course, with the issue of waste management becoming a focus in India, especially with the launch of the Swachh Bharat movement, decentralized composting is becoming commonplace again. It's important for us to bring back household composting, since in India we waste about 40% of food produced. This is a huge quantity that ends up in landfills and in random street corners. it's our duty to bring back household composting as responsible citizens. And with startups like Daily Dump making it easy to install individual composting units with no odor issues, it's time for us to go back to composting at home. The second practice is using hand-me-downs and exchanging. It was very common in Indian families in the yesteryears to pass down cloths, toys, books, etc. Exchanging was also a common practice. You'd be surprised to see how much this practice has reduced over the years. Now, due to the highly romanticized idea of consumerism and buying often in India, it's become very rare to see used things being passed down or circulated within a family, let alone a community. Things like toys, books, and so on need not be used firsthand always. Exchanging clothes and other articles within your friends and family needs to make a serious comeback. Western countries, ironically, have brought back the wave of using second-hand clothes, and there are several thrift stores available across the US and European countries. It's very hard in India to find a chain of second-hand stores or to find thrift stores even in the largest cities. There are a few ventures like Kiabza and Natashi which resell used clothing. But however, there needs to be a huge change in consumer mentality for the thrift model to work again in India. The third practice that needs to make a comeback is the concept of growing plants of use at home. Growing plants like Tulsi, Neem and Kadambam were practices that were followed diligently in every household. These plants circulated air quality, helped in maintaining natural sanitization of the household, and in imbibing a sense of connect and oneness with nature. Knowledge about the use and benefits of growing plants in and around your house needs to make a serious comeback. The next practice that we need to work on bringing back in our country is to understand medicines. In pre-colonial India, medicines were not made from chemicals, but from natural sources. Flu, cold, fever, cuts, allergies, all of these were usually treated at home by members of the household. Everyone had a basic knowledge of medicine. This is something that we need to revive in India. Choosing allopathy or Ayurveda or Siddha is your choice, but knowing what goes into your body and knowing what to do when something wrong goes with your body is a knowledge base that all of us need to know, at least for basic ailments. The next practice that needs to make a comeback for the overall development of our country is understanding the role of women in maintaining environment and societal balance. Women have a natural tendency to care and to nurture, and this extends to the environment and society as well. Balancing and harmonizing, using resources judiciously, and giving back to the society are values that are considered traditionally feminine. And it's baffling to think that environmental societal balance will be maintained without the involvement of women and men equally. In ancient India, women were intimately connected with the environment around them and were in tune with the needs of the family and balancing it with the needs of the world. Be it the Chipko movement or the Narmada Bachao Andolan, the role of women in Indian environmental management cannot be ignored or compromised. This is something that needs to make a comeback, and urgently. With the effects of climate change becoming more prominent every passing day, it's our duty to do our best to manage things better together. Thank you for listening to this episode, and please do subscribe to the Sustainer podcast for more tips on everyday sustainable living. You can follow us on Instagram to stay updated. We at Sustainer are now making zero-waste personal care products as well as sustainable interior decor and furnishing. You can reach out to us through Instagram DMs to know more. Have a great day.